Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? I like it when we have big pieces of bread like this, because you can see the different stuff in there. And that's important. You know, and actually, sometimes when I teach on the communion, I'll bring out a whole sheet of matzo bread. So you can really see, you can see the whole thing. God gave us specific directions on how to make matzo bread. You know, remember in the Old Testament is full of types and shadows of Jesus. And he was talking about Jesus all the way through the Old Testament. And then Jesus got here. And now, here's the cool thing about the Bible, especially the Old Testament. A lot of people have this habit of going and reading the Old Testament to find something to do. Don't do that, because you'll find it and you won't like it. But if you get your feet firmly grounded in the New Testament, the gospel of grace, and you go back into the Old Testament and you start looking for things that Jesus did, you start identifying him in these different sacrifices. Identify him in this matzo bread. Identify him in the Ark of the Covenant. Identify him in all these different things through the eyes of grace. It gives you an even bigger revelation of grace. Now, when we look at this bread, we're supposed to discern the body of Christ. And that's what Paul told us. He said, for this reason, only one reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. When we look at this bread, we're to see the body of Christ, his physical body. See him in his passion. See him in that sacrifice. Look at that and notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. This bread has been flattened out. Jesus was beaten, and actually, the Bible tells us that he was crushed. And you look at this bread and you'll notice that there's stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. See, our healing has already been paid for. All we have to do is receive it. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can only receive it. And if you look at this bread, you'll notice that it's been pierced. There's holes in it. Jesus' body was pierced all over the place. In fact, he got a crown of thorns and he shed blood. He got nails in his hands and he shed blood. He got nails in his feet and he shed blood. He got a spear thrust into his side and he shed blood. Everywhere that Jesus shed blood, we get redemption in some area. You look at this bread and it's slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. And in fact, at that very minute, when the sins of the world, all the sicknesses, all the diseases, everything wrong was laid on Jesus, God turned his face from Jesus. And Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. The world went dark. That's also the first time that Jesus ever addressed him as God. He had always called him Father up until that point. He took our place so that we can take his. Now, we don't have to call him God. We call him Father. We've been adopted into the family of God. Amen. So we're taken to this broken body for healing and our well-being, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Sometimes we have to take all the religion that we've learned and cast it to the side. And don't believe the preacher, but believe the Word. The Word of God is more powerful than what any preacher has ever said. The blood of Jesus is the one thing and the only thing that could wash away our sins. And it's that blood of Jesus that tells us in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. We have a waterfall of forgiveness. And that blood of Jesus tells us that Jesus became sin. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, righteousness is a legal term that means right standing. I used to think it was just a really religious word and I didn't want nothing to do with it. But it means right standing. Whatever was wrong between you and Jesus before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now you've been justified. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right. Open your Bibles up to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. It's right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to them all. That phrase, time and chance happens to them all, would lead you to believe that, you know, you get lucky once in a while. You know, we don't rely on luck. We rely on grace. And the thing about that verse is the right translation, it means you're in the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to you. See, God causes us to be in the right place at the right time so that the blessing can get on. Have you ever looked back at your life at certain situations? See, sometimes it'd be good for you to just stop and look at one of your big blessings and then trace your steps back and see all the different things that happened that got you to that place. And see these different places that how God was trying to get you to a certain place at a certain time so that he could cause you to be blessed. You know, I was rodeoing and this guy told me about this bronc rider that was in a town next to me. And then I should go down there and he'd help me out. And I thought, oh no, I've heard stories about that guy. I ain't going nowhere near that guy. So I was trying not to drink anymore. And I just stayed away. Then I broke my leg. And I remember when I hit the arena floor, I said, Jesus, help me. Well, I lay in there waiting for the ambulance, and this other bronc rider come up there, and he said, you know something, when you get that leg healed up and you start getting where you can do something, you need to go over there, see this guy, and that guy's name popped up again. Go over there and see this guy. He'll help you get your leg going. He's got a bucking machine. He'll help you get healed up. So I said, no. So I'm 50 miles away from my hometown, and that guy is almost 100 miles away from his home. And I come walking into this, well, on crutches, into this cafe to go in there and eat. And there he is. He said, hey, when you get your leg all healed up, come down. Oh, man. Okay, so anyway, I get my leg healed up a little bit, and I go down there, and his wife, I knew she was really religious. And I had spent a lot of time avoiding God. And I wasn't having nothing to do with that. So I went down there to ride that bucking machine. She said, can you come in and have some cookies? And I ain't going in there. And this went on three or four times. Finally, she said, well, can you come in and have a cookie and a glass of tea? Yeah, I guess I could do that. So I went in there and had a cookie and a glass of tea and boogied on out of there. This went on for a few times. Then one day, they were sitting there and said, well, we were eating supper. Actually, she got me to stay there and eat supper. Said, have you ever heard of this cowboy preacher? Ray Lyons, the Crystal Lyons? I said, no. I haven't heard of any of those guys. You ever heard of Glenn Smith? I said, no, never heard of them. So, well, they're going to have a cowboy church service up at Hewlett. You ought to come up and check it out. And I said, well, what harm could a cowboy preacher do? I got born again that day. Changed the course of my life. But I can trace the steps back there, and I can see where God had been trying to intervene in my life all the way through, trying to get me to the right place at the right time, so that right happenings could happen to me. See, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God because He's trying to get us to certain places at certain times. So we have dates with destiny. Actually, we can have these special meetings where we have these God encounters. Now, I want you to go over to Genesis chapter 26. I remember last week we talked about Abraham. He got in trouble. There was a drought. He ran down to Egypt, got in trouble. And then he got back out, and then things worked out for him. How many of us have come up with our own idea and ended up at the wrong place? All of us. We made a decision. We were going to go ahead and take matters into our own hands and fix the situation. Well, here's Isaac in verse 1. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, for unto you And unto your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. And I will make your seed multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto your seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my command, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window, and saw and beheld Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is your wife. And how sayest thou she is your sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with your wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines, they just loved him. He envied him. You remember, I know you've all heard this saying that your children are going to do what you do and not what you say. See, Isaac did what he seen his father do. Abraham got in trouble and he ran down to Egypt. Isaac got in trouble and he ran down to Egypt. God took care of both of them. See, sometimes we weave when we should have wobbled, and God still gets us to the right place where we can be blessed, in spite of ourselves. We've all birthed an Ishmael at some point. You know, we took matters into our own hands. You know, God gave us His word on how He was going to bless us, but we decided we'd just help Him along a little bit, and we make a bigger mess than what we already had. But here's the thing. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. How about that? I had a hard time really understanding this, really getting a vivid picture of this. But we used to take care of little Anastasia. We had her from the time she was three, and she'd follow us around all over the place. She'd go with me, do chores all over the place, ride around with me. And I mean, I didn't know anything about kids. I just thought they were crazy. But I loved this one, you know, and she'd just go all over the place with us. And I really didn't know, you know, other than we were feeding her, and making sure she had a warm place to sleep, I didn't really know what good we were doing. And then one day her teacher come by and said, Anastasia's little friend crashed on the playground. And Anastasia come up there and just said the sweetest prayer we ever heard. And the teacher was crying. And I thought, wow, she did what we do. She watched us pray for people all over the place. We'd pray with her. We'd pray for her grandma and grandpa. And she watched us in church praying for people. They do what you do. And I could have sat there and told her to pray and not prayed. And guess what she'd have done? She would have not prayed. But I didn't ever tell her to pray. I said we'd pray with her. But she just copycatted us. Isaac copycatted Abraham. Jesus copycatted God. We're to copycat Jesus. Now, Isaac, He got a hold of the blessing. He got a hold of what God wanted him to do. He got to the place where God wanted him to be. He was there at the right time. And it was a drought. Now, a lot of people would say, okay, God, did I miss you somewhere? You told me to be here and this place is a mess. I mean, you told me to be here and you'd make me a great nation. And it's a drought. But he went ahead and sowed anyway. And he reaped a hundredfold return on his seed. Now here's the important thing to understand. He had a lot of neighbors. And it tells us that the Philistines envied him. It's a crazy thing, and I see this in the church. Somebody gets blessed, and invariably there will be members in the church that are just tore up because somebody else got blessed. And not them. They'll say crazy things. I know that guy. He doesn't do half the stuff that I do. He skips church. And I know I seen him drinking beer at the picnic. And he got blessed and I didn't. They got the wrong attitude towards God. That guy just believed on Jesus. He's relying on grace while the other person is relying on self-righteousness. We rely on God's righteousness, not ours. Now, people are going to be people. But the thing you need to understand is just because God blesses you with $100, that doesn't mean that he can't bless her with $100. Because the Bible tells us that it's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, if I take $100 and give you $100, that's out of my treasure. So, well, if I have 500 and I give you 100, I got 400. See, my treasure will dwindle down. But God's treasure doesn't. It's according to his riches. See, he gives you $100. It's not like anything even happened. He's got $100 for you, and he's got $100 for you, and $100 for you. And nothing changed. Other than you got $100. I will eventually dwindle down to $0 if I keep giving $100 away. But I know where that came from. God will get some more to me. See, I don't give to get. I give because I got. Now, let's turn over to... we'll get some New Testament. We'll get closer to Jesus. Let's get over to Matthew chapter 2. It's still the Old Testament. Did you know that? New Testament doesn't start till after the cross. But I want you to see some curious things here. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. The young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until I bring word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Okay. God told Abraham, don't go to Egypt. He told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Told Joseph, take my son and go to Egypt. Just because he tells one person not to do something, that doesn't mean everybody doesn't do that. There's some crazy doctrines that have been started over that. Crazy thing. I know one guy, God told him, don't you eat no more pork. And he preached that to people, don't eat pork. It's not good for you. God made all things clean. But just because he tells one guy not to do something doesn't mean everybody can't do it. And just because he tells one guy to do something doesn't mean everybody has to do it. Amen? You can't put God in one cute little religious box and decide this is the way it's always going to be. See, he had to get Joseph to the right place at the right time so they didn't kill Jesus. Now let's carry on here. He took him to Egypt. He rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Wow, that's pretty extreme. But it happened when Moses was a baby. See, the devil has no problem killing people. Especially people that might be a threat to him. This is one of the reasons that Christians should seek shelter under the shadow of the Most High. You know, you get to Psalms 91. You should say that once in a while. You should tell God that you need His protection and ask Him to protect you. Sometimes it's hard for people to let God be God in their life. He says He's the good shepherd. He has a staff and a rod. The staff, I don't know if you've ever seen a real shepherd's staff, other than in the cartoons, but they're tall canes. They're really tall. They have a hook on the end. That didn't come about because we had 10-foot tall guys that needed a cane to walk around on. Well, what happens is sheep have this habit of getting in trouble. Kind of like people. Well, these sheep will go out into the mud and get stuck out in the mud. The shepherd could reach out there with a staff, hook that staff around his head, and pull him out of the mud to safety. See, God's all about pulling us out of trouble, getting us to safety. Because sometimes we're not in the right place at the right time. Sometimes we have our fingers in our ears and we're not listening to God. We're doing our own thing. We've all been there. We've all gotten in trouble. How many times have you woke up in the morning, went to the coffee table, and was sitting there contemplating the events, and you said, you know, something told me not to go there? You know, His name is not something. He is Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that as many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. But we have to listen to the Spirit of God if we want to be led by the Spirit of God. And then he has this rod. This rod is a club. And that's for beating off the predators. The predators, not the sheep. He's here to protect us. But we have to put ourselves into that place where he can protect us. Let's go on here. Then Herod, you know, he killed all those babies. Verse 17 says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child of his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. He arose and took the young child and his mother and came unto the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So there's some major prophecies that happened right there in the span of that one little chapter. He got called out of Egypt. Rachel was screaming at night. He was called a Nazarene. What happened? God was getting these people to the right place at the right time. They had appointments with certain destinies. See, it took a long, long time for God to get Jesus to this point. You know, in fact, when Jesus was born, the angels appeared and they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So we finally got, God's got his Savior on this earth. He's here. There was a lot of things that happened getting to that point, starting from the garden. God said, there's coming one that's going to bruise your head. And that set the wheels in motion. One prophecy right after another prophecy, right after another prophecy, right to the covenant that God made with Abraham. Abraham taking his son to Isaac. Abraham happened to be in the right place at the right time. No! He listened to God. God said, you go over here, and then you go up there. A lot of times people wonder why they don't get used by God. Why doesn't God tell me to do something, to go over here and do this or do that? And 'cause here's why. You didn't do the first thing he told you to do. A lot of people want to be used in great ways, and that's admirable. But don't expect to be used in great ways if you're not willing to be used in what you may call lesser ways. Insignificant way. Washing coffee cups. Being a greeter. Doing things that maybe doesn't look very glamorous. But God will give you certain assignments. And if you'll get to that assignment and do that assignment, it gives him an opportunity to promote you further so you can go on to the next assignment. But he needs you to be at the right place at the right time so that these right happenings can happen to you. And you don't have to figure out how it's all going to work out. Getting to here was quite an adventure. I asked God where he wanted me to go to church. And he told me where he wanted me to go to church. So my wife came home from work and I said, pack your stuff, we're moving to Wyoming. She said, you're kidding me. I said, no. So we moved to Wyoming. And we go to a rodeo. Makes sense. We're at a rodeo and a friend of mine shows up and she's visiting with this friend of mine and mentioned that I was a pastor. Says, hey, I know this little church that needs a pastor. Until they can find a full-time pastor. It needs an interim pastor. I said, oh, I'll go. So we went up there for 9 months. And then it stopped. And I went back home and I said, well, God, I'll be here working. If you decide you need me, just let me know. So we just stayed there and worked until it was time to come here. See, God has a way of getting us to the right places at the right time. That rodeo had absolutely nothing to do with ministry. It was just a rodeo. And actually, we were just at the trade fair. Just visiting. See how God works. He causes people to be in certain places so that you have these divine destiny appointments to cause things to work out the way he wants things to work out for you. Remember, the Bible tells us that Jesus, our high priest, ever lives to make intercession for the saints. That's us. I mean, Jesus is constantly praying for us, interceding for us. He's causing us to get to the right place at the right time so that he can bless us. All he needs is a little bit of cooperation from us. See, we need to be willing to be led. Don't be a hard-headed sheep. Be led by the Spirit. Let him take you to these places. You may hear him say, you know, go over here. Well, I don't ever go over there. Stop that. Go over there. He says, go over there. Go over there. Go down to this town and eat. Well, we don't ever go down there. It's too far out of the way. Why would we go down there to eat lunch? None of your business. Go down there and eat lunch. Let him bless you. People have this habit of trying to design their life the way they think their life should be. And they miss out on God's best. They accept the good enough in their life that they miss out on his best. You know, we don't want to do anything that's out of our norm. Go to that different place. If you feel led to go to that different place, go to that different place. You may feel led to go give somebody something, go give somebody something. You may feel led to go pray for somebody, go pray for somebody. You may feel led to go talk to somebody, go talk to somebody. Let Holy Spirit lead you to these different appointments. And watch how God changes your life. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word, and we praise you for everything that you do for us on a daily basis. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is everything to us. It did everything for us. And we receive your best because you said that you have freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. So, Father, teach us to be led by the Spirit. Teach us, Father, how to be more sensitive to Him so that we can be at these right places at the right time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. Come back and have some.